Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I scream louder.
Brian, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
But yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so...
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us?
Psych!
We're back! Welcome to Season 6 of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. It has been a pretty interesting offseason, maybe one of the shortest offseasons we've had thanks to the addition of the Semi-Pro feud. We needed it. It was helpful. Season 6 brings us a brand new edition of the pod with a brand new thematic team names for the year. If you're not ready for it, it's time to drink it in. It's alcohol. Your beers, wines, claws, gins, whiskeys, rums, truly all the forms of your favorite form of drink are here for you to deal with your fantasy pain. Could be to celebrate a win or drink yourself into thinking your fate is sealed to stand up after a 1-2 start to the season. The draft is done. Year 2 of the auction draft come and gone already. Done more effectively than ever thanks to the use of modern technology that was blatantly ignored a little over 360 days ago in the midst of a pandemic. A little virtual meme for you here. We've got Drake Say No, getting a group of fully vaxxed guys together for a draft in the height of another wave of the pandemic. Drake Say Yes, get the league together in the middle of a pandemic without a vaccine and travel from across the country to a small coastal town that had not been affected by cases. I think it makes perfect sense. It's a fun meme. People like memes. Should say, I'm recording again with Mike Pouncey, but I'm also recording from the old Semi-Pro Feud studios without using any of the Semi-Pro Feud equipment. And I'm hearing my own tinging echo in a very tiny room of an empty building late at night. I feel like I snuck in here kind of illegally. I haven't potted by myself for this podcast, I don't think ever. I think I've done little bits here and there. I have not truly recorded an episode by myself. And I'm absolutely the only person on the fourth floor of the Cumulus building right now. It is very dark. I think the only lights in the building are in the studio that I'm in. I'm a little freaked out. If the episode never gets posted, it's because I was murdered here. So if you can hear my voice, just say, I want you to know I'm sorry, and I was definitely murdered. Anyways, our week one preview. It's going to be a little different this year because we're going to be hearing from you, or at least most of you, as we just get ready to talk about our teams. We all drafted together. We all talked about our draft a little bit, but it was very late. We're old now. We have to go to bed at normal times, so that's what we did. We killed the Zoom room. We sent everyone away to their corners of the country, and I asked you to send recordings to me. And that's what we've got here, is our matchups for the week with our recordings from the people that are going to be in those matchups telling us about their teams. Gotta say, big fan of the auction draft. I think it went really well this year. Being able to use ESPN as a moderator auctioneer, pretty fun. It moved things along very quickly. And I think if we had actually been not afraid to set the time faster earlier, could have gone very well. So get ready. Actually, this time, I'm prepared to stop rambling for the first of 17 weeks of podcasting about the NFL as we dissolve into puddles of tears over this dumb thing we just love so damn much. First matchup of the week is the Great White Shark. That's Timmy Two Pints versus Johnny Walker U. That's Jordan. We're starting at the bottom, and we're here. Timmy Two Pints, it's the only way you can refer to Tim this year, finished as our toilet bowl loser. He takes on perpetual fantasy struggler in week one in Johnny Walker U, which is a university I would attend. Thank you very much. As Jordan looks to make the playoffs again and make it to his long-awaited championship game. Let's go ahead and hear now from these two fantasy football executive vice presidents and hear what they have to say about their fresh new teams.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
owner of Team Great White Shark. I decided to go with the team name change because Great White is actually one of my favorite beers out there. And I had a DJ Shark on my team, just kind of rounded out nicely. So I just like the team name better, so that's what I'm going with. In terms of how the draft went for me, I think I actually did okay. Definitely felt like I did better than I did last year's draft. Got into a couple bidding wars with Jared. It was Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb. I was hoping to get one of those guys, and Jared just kept taking me higher and higher. So had to kind of bounce back from that, but I felt like I distributed my money pretty evenly. I think I got good value for pretty much every single player on my team. I don't feel like I overpaid for anybody, and I felt like I kind of distributed the strength of my team pretty well. I think my strongest point is very obviously my Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Bills stack. So that should do me pretty well in order to steal some wins just with those two, hopefully having combined big games. Don't love my running back situation, but running backs in general are pretty tough for just about everybody except for a couple teams. So I think my receivers will carry me and my depth will carry me. And hopefully I can make some good in-season moves. Obviously finished last place last year. So I'm putting some pressure on myself for sure to do well this season. So I think I have the team to at least get me into the playoffs if I can stay healthy and if I can make some good moves. So in terms of best draft, I think I'm kind of with what I've heard is the consensus. Jordan did very, very well in terms of just his overall depth, and I think he's strong at every single position. Receiver, obviously, he doesn't have any studs, but I think they all have enough value to give him enough of what he needs, especially if Kittle is as strong as I personally think he is. But I'd also like to commend Luke, Rick, and Andrew. I'd say you three had the other... you three would round out my favorite four drafts. In terms of worst draft, this was pretty tough for me to decide. I think every single team has strengths and weaknesses, of course, but I had to go with Scott. I think it was very clear that his strategy was to get two top four guys with Kamara and Henry, and that's awesome. He by far has the top RB1, RB2 combination. But aside from those two guys, it's just very underwhelming everywhere I look. Quarterback, receiver, tight end, flex, just don't love any of it. And although I do think his top three bench guys have some potential, sorry, Scott, but I had to go with you for worst draft. To those of you going to Columbus, have a good time. Wish I was going. And go Ducks.
Hey, this is Jordan recording live from Midway Airport in Chicago. Calling in to talk about my fantasy draft. Overall, was pretty excited about my draft. I feel like I nailed my strategy, which was basically to pick a 45-year-old quarterback and also pick a backup quarterback that is 20 years old and has only played one season of FCS football. So I really think I nailed that strategy. but no, otherwise, I mean, I came out pretty happy in the draft. Feel like I got two really good running backs in Swift and Gibson. And then I kind of think that my team's really deep and has like a high floor, but the success of my season will probably kind of hinge on George Kittle, kind of banking on him having like the Travis Kelce, Darren Waller type of tight end impact. So we'll see on that. But, you know, overall got a lot of the guys I was hoping to get and feel pretty happy about it. And excited to watch Bucks Cowboys tonight. Best draft. This is a tough one. I feel like everybody, I don't know, it's so much more even in the auction drafts, I think, than it used to be in Snake, because everybody can kind of go out and at least get a handful of good players. But my favorite drafts probably, Probably Luke. I think that he did a really good job of balancing his team, getting a couple really strong running backs, and then I was kind of pissed that he got Terry McLaurin at $25. I feel like I spaced out during the draft or something and didn't realize that that auction was ending, because I definitely would have bid. That's my boy, Scary Terry. But yeah, Luke's got really dirty receivers, and then like pretty solid players surrounding those receivers. So I think he's got a pretty high ceiling. As far as other favorite drafts, I mean, strangely enough, I do like Rick's draft, just because of, you know, really dominant receivers, and I also like Rick's running backs, Jag Robinson and whatever the Rams running back's name is, Henderson. You know, two guys who are going to get a lot of carries. So I don't know. I kind of like his team. His flexes are horrible, but it's like I'm kind of thinking as long as he can sort out that flex situation, he should have a good squad. Worst drafts, I think I looking at Duncan's draft, I don't think I really like that. He just the receivers are really rough. I mean, Galladay as his wide receiver one is like I don't think any of, like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of teams that wouldn't even be thrilled about starting Galladay over the guys that they have. But Duncan's done that a lot in the past, where he's taken guys who, you know, I think the consensus was expecting them to be bad, and they ended up being good. So that always feels like a thing that Duncan does. So I'm sure it'll work out for him. The one other one that I wasn't super thrilled about was Pip's draft, kind of similar to Duncan, where spent a lot of money on tight end, and I just didn't like where he came out in receivers, drafting Julio, Odell, and Debo. Like all three of those guys have a lot of injury history and could very, very easily be busts. So you know, it could shake out really well for him, and again, knowing Pip, like he'll work something out where I'm sure he's going to turn everything into a good team eventually. But he's just got a scary set of receivers that could really come back to bite him. So yeah, that's my main thoughts. It was kind of weird doing auction draft over Zoom and doing it on ESPN, but fun nonetheless, and excited for the season start.
Live reporting from the airport. Thank you, Jordan Archer. I think that sets a record of most ever pod segments sent in from an airport. Scott doing it the first time, Jordan now there, so congratulations. Speaking of Scott, our next matchup, Rolling Brock Arsweiler, that is myself, versus Eli Appletini, that's Scott. It was the shock of all shocks. Scott, running away with the league to a number one seed, an 11-2 finish, owning the fantasy budget player buying system for the first time, losing in round two after a bye. Very Scott finish for him. He takes on myself, a team that went all in on the Falcons, a very good football team that everybody loves and nothing has ever bad happened to. And I did that because I truly hate myself and do not want to feel joy. It's my everlasting fantasy goal, and I'm now glad that my new best friends, Calvin and Kyle, get to be here with me. This is a little awkward. This is the part where it gets awkward, is Scott didn't send anything in about his team. Scott's team is very good. Scott said he would send in something for me, and then he didn't. He went big, very heavy. He gets Alvin Kamara for $57. He follows that up with TD Henry for $52, and then he just sat there in the Zoom for what felt like 9 days before he was able to add anybody else to his team. He's got Mayfield, Cooper Kupp, Deontay Johnson, Devontae Parker, Noah Fant, Kenyon Drake, Cole Beasley. I don't know. I think he's got a good upside player in Jalen Waddle. I found out AJ Green was an Arizona Cardinal. A lot of these things happened very fast. I do think Scott leads the league in anti-vaxxers in Cole Beasley and Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's something that's going to work out for him. Just not sure. As to what Scott really thinks about his team, you've got two running backs that in drafting years would be on two different teams, and he's got them RB1, RB2. That's going to probably be enough to make Scott at the very least like a 5 seed, and it's probably just going to be the thing that carries him the whole way. It's a roster strategy that I went with myself. DK, D Hop and Calvin Ridley with a silent D in front of it. My big 1-2-3, that was my only goal. All of my research that was done in the day prior to the draft was, I want some really good receivers this year. I think that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to go all in on receivers. I think I got value-wise getting DK for 39. I didn't think was too bad. I got Hopkins for 35. I thought that was also kind of a steal. I did go a little Falcon happy when I got Calvin Ridley for 40. I knew I went Falcon happy when I went in after Kyle Pitts. But I, at that point, was kind of like, he's the only tight end that I recognize on the board. I think I'm going to take him. So that's kind of what I did there. And then my running back situation is a disaster. I mean, if the Jag Robinson goes down, I do have a handcuff, but that's not great. I possibly have handcuffed my own self by having both of the Rams running backs. I have about 9 different backups on my bench right now, so I'm just kind of banking on an injury, which is what I do most often, and then that injury never happens. So, feeling good about my team. I really like my strategy. I think if Kyle Pitts is what a lot of people say he is, who is just a freak alien, I think he's going to be great, along with 3 number one wide receivers. I also really love my C stack. I also think I've got some flexibility of being able to move a guy for a running back if when I get so desperate enough to do so. I like my team. I also really like my name. I'm also a really big fan of the logo that I made for my team, which you never really get to see on ESPN. That's kind of a damn shame. Next matchup, Ndamukong Suh Driver, that's of course Mike, versus Darius Hayward, Bombay, that is Luke. Mr. Consistent. Luke made the playoffs again last year, nothing new there, but he also finds himself with just a 50% chance of making the playoffs, according to the soon-to-be future Jeopardy host IBM Watson on ESPN. That's truly shocking. Also not shocking, me butchering a joke that I wrote. Mike was one game away from having to live out his actual dream of doing a stand-up set. He hasn't confirmed it publicly, but sources are telling me that people are talking about how Mike wants to be incredibly bad at fantasy football so that he has to then do stand-up, which he's going to be good at, so good at that he quits his job as a lawyer to do stand-up full-time. This is where I also wrote down, let's now hear from Luke on his fantasy team and Mike on why the United States botched their 2-decade-long war in the Middle East. Fortunately, neither of them sent in anything to play. Mike had, I think, the most interesting strategy out of everybody, which is to have Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. After drafting Mahomes, then drafting Rodgers. Really interesting. If you got Davante Adams, I mean, I'd kind of think you want to double up with the points there. Mahomes is like a lock starter every week. The quarterback situations, I don't think, are all that bad. So you're kind of hoping that a quarterback is just really stinky and then you trade for somebody. Maybe? Meh? I don't know. He's got Devonta Smith as a rookie who is very talented, but I'm not sure what to make of Jalen Hurts in the Eagles offense. And Juju Smith-Schuster is the I'm not big on the Steelers. Juju has been a pain in, I think, everybody's fantasy butt for about the last 3 years, so I'm not sure how that's going to go. He does have Hollywood Brown going in week one, which is the only week that Hollywood Brown ever scores points in, so I think Mike's off to a great start, despite the fact that he has the Buccaneers defense, who went for -3 on Thursday night. Luke, on the other hand, I mean, he's got a Luke team. He's got a just fine quarterback in Jalen Hurts, a guy who I just said I don't know anything about, but Luke seems to get by without any great quarterbacks. I think he was playing Brady a whole bunch last year, which was extra super annoying. He gets the hair. He gets his guy Joe Mixon, of course. He's just got a very balanced team. Scary Terry, Justin Jefferson, who, you know, assuming anti-vaxxer Kirk Cousins is throwing him the ball, probably going to be good. Keenan Allen is a stud. Jerry Judy's very good as well. Decent bench. He's got his handcuffs. He's got some backups. He's got some guys who are absolutely going to be flooded your inbox with trades later. Good team. I'm not particularly excited about it. I think it's a fine team. It's going to be a team that will allow Luke to make some moves and get into the playoffs. Generally, it's just good enough. I mean, like, Luke will take it. I'm sure his team's going to get better with some moves here and there, so we'll see what happens. Next up, Youngho Kurz. That's Brandon is taking on Curtis Samuel. That's Duncan. Brandon is already out on the Rockies. He's researching where the American rights to the championship are being played in the U.S. for the Arsenal. And there's still 4 weeks until he can begin clapping back at national bloggers for The Ringer for their bad NBA takes. This could be the soonest that we can all assume that Brandon is all in on just fantasy football in the longest time. Now he's taking on the Seattle Supersonic Soundslayer. He puts the DB in DB Stewart, the back-to-back playoff team maker and avoider of another round of stand-up, who is dead even at 500 after 78 career games played, and he's on the search to join the exclusive group of two-time league winners thanks to Duncan's very special hashtag odd year magic. So we'll hear from Duncan in a second. We'll go now to team Younghoe Kurz, who, pretty good looking team, if I'm going to, I mean, objectively, physically a good looking team when you've got Trevor Lawrence, Austin Eckler, sneaky good looking as well. I think that average is brought down a little bit with CeeDee Lamb, although very shiny teeth, and Chase Claypool. I just looked at his photo again on the ESPN app. You know, eyebrows maybe need a little bit of work, just being honest. Pretty team, but we'll see what happens. Very interested to see in the Trevor Lawrence experience and how that works out. He does have Justin Fields, again, another rookie running back. I think the stash of Michael Thomas might be the move, though, that halfway through the season sparks a change in Brandon's team, because he's got a lot of options for flex plays right now. That was something that Luke mentioned in the draft, that I'm already worried about it, because he does have Ja'Marr Chase on his bench as well. Tevin Coleman could be a factor with the Jets. Tevin Coleman is a Jet as well. Interesting. Philip Lindsay, if with a horrible Houston team, could get a lot of moves here. He picked up Devonta Freeman, who may at some point be a running back for the Ravens, which, if you're in the greater Baltimore metro area and you have two intact ACLs, you may also be a running back for the Baltimore Ravens at some point. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that works out with Eckler and Mike the Bike Davis. I feel like Mike Davis is going to have a good year. Damn it, I'm in on Falcons. I can't do that. There's no one here to check me on this. Just based on his social media presence and how much this dude loves Atlanta and, like, not just the Falcons, but, like, all of Atlanta, I feel like he's just going to run so goddamn hard all the time. His thighs are gigantic. Why would he not be a good running back? I can't be in on all the Falcons. It's just... You've left me alone with my own thoughts here, and it's not good. Let's hear from Duncan.
I'll be honest, my entire strategy was to not overbid early. I had caps set for individual players on how much I would pay for them so I could go further into the draft and compete for depth. When Herbert went up early and was below what I had as the cap for him, I'd set at $20 for a QB1, that is. I got trigger happy, and I ended up regretting that big time because we had top 10 QBs going for $4. As a result, I also dropped $50 on Zeke, and really that imploded my whole strategy, not in the sense of I didn't think I got good players, but I didn't end up then bidding higher on true number one wideouts. I thought about bidding heavier on some guys and was worried that I'd lose out, but in the end, I still had the most money going into like the final four or five rounds, so I really wish I'd gone harder for someone like D-Hop, Devontae, or DK. All D's, so that's kind of weird. all that to say, I think my only advantage is I've got a true like next man up roster if the injury bug does plague teams in the back half of a 17-game season. I think it could really help me in the playoffs. However, I think I'm going to have to trade in the next couple weeks to sacrifice some depth if some of my guys don't emerge as like flyers or something like that. Yeah, I want to get a scarier wide receiver core for sure. As far as who are the best, worst drafts, how can I argue with the greatest football insights website of all time? Clearly, Tim is the best and Pip is the worst. Fuck! Hey, Rick, it's me, Duncan, coming to you live approximately 36 hours after I sent you my initial intake. Now that Pollard outperformed Zeke, Rojo decided to get his ass benched and go for negative points. Gus Edwards has a season-ending tear of the ACL, and my namesake, Curtis Samuel, goes to IR. I had the worst draft. And fuck. Not looking forward to stand-up comedy again. My team stinks.
Still trying to wrap my head around what exactly I'm trying to say about these teams. I've just been rambling. Lord help me. Next up, Pabst Interference. Jared is taking on Sauvignon Blankenship. That's Andrew. It is the curse that brought the plague upon the world. Well, that could have been caused by Jared losing the toilet bowl in 2019. It may go down as the straw that broke the camel's back and Mr. Consistency going for four straight years of 5-8. Of course, with a weird NFL season of an extra week and everything like that, it can't really happen. But Jeff Fisher, if he knows one thing, it's mustaches. And if that you enjoy going 5-8 for 4 years, going 5-8 for a fifth year, even more fun. He takes on, in week one, an unleashed cannon, a GM without a cause, a man without a plan, and more importantly, a man without a massively important job sucking up all of his free time trying to be a doctor because Andrew took his doctor test recently and he doesn't have to do anything anymore. He's completed it. He's a doctor. He can retire. Let's go ahead and hear now from Pabst Interference and Sauvignon Blankenship.
Hey friends, this is Jared coming to you live from Midway Airport on my way to Columbus. I just read the news about Gus Edwards possibly tearing his ACL, so I'm a little bit flustered right now with him trying to figure out how this affects my power rankings. I think my draft went pretty well. Now Lamar Jackson's pretty much the only person that's going to be left to run the ball in Baltimore, so I think he's going to get a lot more rushing touchdowns, which helps me. My basic draft strategy was to make sure to draft running backs with good offensive lines and just players in general with really high floors, just kind of aiming for consistency throughout the season. Nick Chubb and Jonathan Taylor are both behind really good offensive lines. And then I don't like the fact I don't have a true wide receiver one, but I think I have three wide receiver twos if Brandon Cooks can repeat what he's done the past 4 years pretty much. So other than that, I'm a little bit worried about Robert Tonyan, and I think he might regress a little bit. He's pretty touchdown dependent, but I'll trust Aaron Rodgers. Other than that, I'm a little bit worried about my flexes, but at least the running backs that are going to get some sort of touches. Detroit's going to run the ball, so I don't think it's all going to be Swift. I think a little bit of Jamal, and the Arizona signed Connor for a reason, so I think he'll get a decent amount of touches. Anyway, so that's how I feel about my draft. I'm going to say my favorite team, that was just kind of looking over everything. I kind of like Tim's team. I think Tim has a decent projection this week. Obviously, that doesn't mean anything, but just overall, I like his team composition. Having both Sanders and Carson is kind of tough at running back. I mean, they could be good, but it's just hard for Carson to stay healthy, and I don't know about the Eagles offensive line. Well, I guess I haven't done enough research on the Eagles offensive line to know, but they have two other good running backs in that stable, so I'm not 100% sure about that. But I love Tim's wide receivers, and I love Josh Allen, so he's got that Buffalo stack. So it's either gonna be feast or famine for him, but I think it's gonna be a lot of feasting. I don't really have a worst team. I'm not a big fan that Mike needs to move Aaron Rodgers sooner rather than later. I don't think he should wait as long as Duncan did last year, what he did with Josh Allen. But if Mike can move Aaron Rodgers and get a decent amount of capital back for him, then it would greatly improve his roster. And then I don't like how many Falcons Rick has, and I have two Falcons. So I think other than that, that's all I have to say. Can't wait for the game tonight and for the season to start up, and the fact that there's an extra game this year and I won't go 5-8. So really looking forward to that. All right, bye.
Overall, I think my draft went really well. I didn't get a chance to do any prep work, and I think that actually helped. I just went off of the standard auction value cheat sheet, so I tried to make good, unbiased moves on whoever I thought was going for a good price. That hurt my ability to fill up my bench. I just didn't know, really have a good sense of who the big later round targets were. But that's nothing I can't, address during the season in free agency. Overall, I'm really happy with the way things turned out. I like my running back depth. I'm looking forward to this season. I think my draft went well.
And finally, the one we ended last year with, we're ending with here again. Twisted T. Higgins, that's Pip, our reigning champion, takes on Cam Newton. And that's Fronik. Fantasy football is cruel. I've mentioned that before. Hurts all of us. Finds new ways every year to come up with new ways to break us. In 2020, not only did that mean it came with losses extending from Thursdays through Wednesdays on some weeks, but also meant a heartbreaking jinx in a championship game. Because you see, the fantasy gods have a couple of rules. Rule number one, don't tweet hate messages at players for being bad at fantasy because they're bad in the NFL. Rule number two, always say good luck to you in your matchup this week on the podcast to other fantasy football vice chairmen of the boards and their other league members. You have to be kind and courteous. And rule number three is do not send the good game text when you're getting blown out on Sunday afternoon. If there's still games to play, you still have a chance. You don't give up. You fight till the end. Fantasy gods are cruel because when they see you do either of the first two rules, they look away and don't do anything because they're dumb gods. People who tweet bad things at fantasy players all the time kind of get ridiculed occasionally when the tweet gets picked up by Bleacher Report, and then that's only because some guy screenshotted it, and it goes away. That guy probably ends up winning a championship later, and everybody comes out even. But when they see you break rule number three, the good game text rule, they decide to intervene, and actually guarantee you victory. It's a rule they don't want you to break, but then they reward you for breaking it. I don't understand why they would do this, but it's a way of life for those sadistic jackasses up there. It gifted Pip a title. It gave Fronik 12 extra hours at least a day to be able to research his multiple dynasty leagues that he's in because he doesn't have anything else to talk about. He would have spent that time talking about his championship and how much he loves his team. And instead, he just talks about his fantasy leagues and the dynasty ones. They're deep, man. He'll talk to you about that till he's blue in the face. And I don't think he's ever going to get blue in the face. Anyways, these fantasy gods, what do? They give us the rematch. Let's hear now from Pip and Fronik on their week one, on their teams, maybe a little bit on their week one matchup.
What is up, everybody? This is right after we finished the draft. So this is going to be immediate first impressions of what happened, not looking too much into it. Because it is the draft, and seasons are not won or lost at the draft, in my opinion. They are won throughout the season, so not much to read out of this, in my opinion, but it's very exciting for week one. As for my draft, very happy with what I did. Got the tier one running back and tight end that are both weak winners in Dalvin Cook and Travis Kelce. Kyler Murray hopefully is going to be very fun at quarterback, and then filled in with three solid wide receivers that I think if this was 2017 with Julio and Odell Beckham, it would be an unstoppable lineup. But we'll see how it goes. I like what I drafted. I think it sets me up well that those two players and then Kyler also can keep me in matchups week after week, which is what I kind of built last year also. And as for my matchup against Fronik this week, I do think I have a better team. Fronik starting two unknowns at flex, and I don't particularly love his full top to bottom lineup. I think I'd just have a better team. As for the other players in this league, I think Tim had a very fun draft with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. That's an awesome combination. Jordan, once again, has a very solid lineup. We'll see how that collapses throughout the year. Scott and Rick, they were both attending the draft, and they picked some players. Mike, he's built something pretty fun there with Mahomes, Montgomery, and Adams, and then Devontae Smith is going to be interesting to see how well he does for Mike. Yeah, I think Luke probably has the best overall wide receivers and a very good-looking team from top to bottom in his starting lineup. So Luke's going to be probably one of the best teams again. Shocker. Brandon did very well working his cash. He's got a lot of decent players there. I don't know. Maybe CD turns into one of those guys that can win you any week, and we'll see if Eckler can stay healthy, and jury's out on Trevor Lawrence. We'll see if he has a season like Herbert last year. Duncan, once again, a very solid draft, good with Herbert and Zeke. Wide receivers aren't as great, but he also has Darren Waller, so another fun player. And then Andrew, I thought he did well, although I would not have drafted Saquon Barkley myself. Which is why I didn't. And then Jared's got two fantastic running backs there that really stick out along with Lamar Jackson. So if his wide receivers, Godwin and Woods, can play up to their full potential, then it's going to be very fun. So it just looks this week that everybody is kind of even, and we'll see how it starts to separate a few weeks down the road once waivers start to get into it. But overall, it's a very fun draft. Can't wait to see how the season turns out, and I look forward to playing you all and seeing you all on the pod, and hope you all have a very fun first week, except for you, Fronik. You're going down.
Thanks for having me on, Rick, on the pod. Just here to talk about my draft thoughts, just in general, and I'll try to do this as quickly as Fronik possible. Promise I won't tell any stories. About my draft, I went in wanting Christian McCaffrey and probably a top-notch receiver. I was targeting Adams, especially after what he did for me last year, but he priced out for me, so I pivoted to Tyreek. Really wanted a few game-changer players, you know, like the best or the second best in their positions, so obviously CMC and Tyreek, so I'll be leaning on them heavily, but felt like I did pretty good in terms of having a core five or six players, but definitely feeling a little nervous with how the rest of my roster turned out in terms of my flexes, so we'll see. Going to be depending on some rookies, looks like, this year, especially early. Might be a little sketchy, but overall, I think I like my starting players, and then, you know, through waivers or just how the rookies or my bench players work out, my flexes will get figured out, which is kind of always the case throughout the year for all of us, I think. So, and then if I had to choose anybody's drafts that I liked, I really liked, I think, consensus that I've just, the few people I've spoken with, has been Jordan. I really, really, really like Jordan's team. He was my favorite draft by far, especially since like eight of the guys that I really wanted to try and get, but because I overspent in other players, I couldn't target them, you know, like Antonio Brown or Will Fuller. So anyway, really liked Jordan's draft. Luke's draft was really good as well. Like his receivers and his combination of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Mixon for, I think, less than I paid for Christian McCaffrey was probably pretty good, since he got Mixon for only $30. So that was a good deal that he got in value. And Tim actually did a really good draft too. We'll see how Carson and Sanders do for him this year, considering I had them last year. And AJB, you can't ever go wrong with AJ Brown. So he's got some really good players on his starting roster. We'll see how he, you know, works it with the rest of his bench and whatnot. But he looks pretty promising thus far. And then for worst draft, I did not like Duncan's draft. Galladay, I know he's been hurt throughout the summer, and Ezekiel Elliott has been, you know, pretty good, but last year he looked a little off. But Gus Edwards, you know, getting injured definitely is going to hurt that even more so with the draft outlook. So he's already not looking too good right now. And yeah, so he would be my favorite for worst draft. And then the rest of everyone I felt like did pretty good job. I felt like we are, you know, all did, you know, there's obvious holes in different teams. But overall, I think it went pretty well for most of us. Anyway, thanks again. Bye.
Well, that's going to do it for a weird week one episode of the pod for us. I say us, it's still me. I'm still here in this empty studio talking to myself, just looking at my reflection in all of the windows because I can't see out because the lights are on. It's very creepy. I had to walk down the hall earlier. I was not 100% sure I was alone, which is just like not fun. I think the lights in the studio behind me were just turned on, but I don't see anybody in there. Again, haven't been murdered yet, but I might be soon. That's week one. That's one down, 16 to go. Hopefully we'll be back to our regularly scheduled matchup previewing, bit having fun, 9-hour pods next week. Love you all. Subscribe, rate, review the pod. Follow us on Twitter at SemiProductsPod. And let me be the first to say it to you this year. Best of luck to you in your fantasy matchup this week. Good game, man. Good game. You fucking got me. It's over. Really.
You got a whole lot of
all game.
Done. Raindrop, drop top, drop top, smoking, no cooking, the hot box, fucking on your bitch, yeah, that, 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 cooking up dope in the crock pot, we came from nothing to something, nigga. Hey. I don't trust nobody with the trigger, nobody call up the gang and they come and get gang. Grab me your river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie, bad, cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas is sad, it's roofy. We got 30 to 100 while too. My bitch is bad and bougie, bad, cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas is savage, ruthless. Hey. We got 30 to 100 rounds through. All set. Records on records, get back, get some back, get some riding around in a cool. I take your beat right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Ooh.